This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, this is CoronaCast, a podcast all about the coronavirus. I'm health reporter Tegan Taylor.
And I'm physician and journalist Dr. Norman Swan. It's Thursday, the 25th of June.
So Norman, can we talk a bit about Connor McKenna? He's an Essendon football player and he tested negative to coronavirus on Tuesday, but he'd had a positive result over the weekend and he'd had an irregular test result a couple of days before that, so they weren't really sure which it was. And now they're sort of, it's looking like maybe he's fine. But I thought that it was way more likely that you'd get a false negative than a false positive.
So the story with Connor McKenna is not a great surprise. And you'd have to say that he has had the infection. He has been positive for COVID-19 and it was accurate because false negatives are much more common than false positives. So what are we talking about here? So if you were to postulate that Connor McKenna has not been infected at all with the COVID-19 virus, you'd have to say that the test the other day where he was positive was a false positive. So he was really didn't have any virus and the test falsely said that he did. That's extremely rare. What is much more common is that the test doesn't show that you're positive when you are. In other words, you're carrying the virus, but the test doesn't show up that you are. And so what Connor McKenna has shown is a very typical pattern of people with coronavirus, is that early on in the infection, the test is either equivocal or negative because you simply just don't have enough virus there to trigger the test, or there might be something wrong with the test early on. Then as more and more virus accumulates in your body, the test becomes more accurate, and therefore, you know, he had some equivocal tests, then he scored positive. That's roughly around the time that you'd expect him to be accurately positive, and now he's scoring negative, which either means he's truly cleared the virus from his system, or he still has the virus, but the test isn't sensitive enough to pick it up, which is why he'll have more tests. So you have to say there's no confusion here. Connor McKenna has been infected with the COVID-19 virus. It's a very typical pattern.
So, I mean, it is possible. It would be technically possible to see whether he had or not, because you could do an antibody test if you wanted to. Maybe we're not talking about Connor McKenna specifically here, but someone who had this sort of testing pattern, you could have a look at their antibodies and see if they had it or not after the fact.
After the fact, and well after the fact. So it doesn't help you this week. It might help you in a month's time to truly get to the bottom of the affair. But at the moment, antibody tests don't help you. You've got to go for the virus itself or the genetic trace of the virus.
So, I mean, you're making it sound quite cut and dried. Why are we still speculating about this? Why isn't it just, yes, he's had it, he should be in isolation?
Well, I assume because Essendon football team would love it to be, you know, a crappy test and he's never been positive all along, and the one player who seems to have had significant contact with him is off the hook and is out of quarantine for 2 weeks and the team can get back to playing. I mean, that's me being cynical. So there's a lot at stake here, whereas if it's your granny, it's important to your granny, but not necessarily to the community at large.
Oh, well, let's take some questions from the audience. Elizabeth's asking, what makes a super spreader? Is it something in their biological makeup or is it something to do with their behaviour?
Really good question, Elizabeth. It's both. So imagine you get infected with the COVID-19 virus and you've got enough on board, probably 3 or 4 or 5 days after you've been infected, to start spreading it to other people. Then it depends on whether you're a social being, you've got a big social network, big family and so on, or whether you are, you know, tending to isolate yourself because of the pandemic. So if you catch it and you're not mixing with other people and you're largely at home and you're only going to the supermarket for your food and you're socially distanced, then you're not going to be spreading it to anybody, maybe one other person. But if you're social and you've got a big family and there's a family birthday party and there's 20 people at the birthday party and you go there, or you're a member of a choir or a church or something like that, or you work in a meatworks and you go and you're working in an environment which is a highly risky environment, you are much more likely to spread it, and you'll spread it to a lot of people in that environment simply because you're in the environment where you're spreading it and people are laughing, shouting, talking and what have you, having a good time. But there is probably some biology around this as well, that to do with individuals. It's not fully understood, but it looks as though people who are super spreaders, when they're breathing out, breathe out more of the virus in the aerosol and droplets. So for some reason, you shed the virus more readily. Who knows? Maybe the virus isn't as sticky on the sides of your lungs and respiratory tract, or maybe the virus just gets, there's more virus being put out into the secretions on your respiratory tract. Nobody really fully understands that, but it is likely that there are individuals who are more likely to spread. But even an ordinary person who's not a super spreader will become a super spreader in the right social environment, or should we say the wrong social environment.
That's so fascinating. It would be the same with other diseases though as well, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. That's right. It's true of the flu, in the old days, true of smallpox and plague and all the other things. I mean, I'm just reading The Mirror and the Light by Hilary Mantel at the moment. And, she wrote this over the last 2 or 3 years before COVID. And they describe the response to this in London at the time of Henry VIII, the response to plague. And it looks, it sounds like COVID-19. And they're talking about plague at the time of Henry VIII. This is not new.
So a question from Helen, who's been shopping recently. She tried to buy a pair of jeans today, but her size was out the back in quarantine for another 24 hours. She's asking, would putting clothes in a plastic bag for 48 hours kill off any coronavirus if they were contaminated? Or is this practice a complete waste of time?
I'm fascinated by this. I haven't heard of quarantining jeans. So somebody, instead of sneezing into their...
Would you call them quarantines, perhaps?
Oh, very good. We've invented a new word on CoronaCast. Well done, Tegan. I mean, really, has somebody sneezed into their jeans instead of into their sleeve? What's going on here? That's quarantined a pair of jeans. But not that I want to knock this behaviour in a jeans shop. Yeah, 24 hours or so on soft furnishings is probably the time that the virus maximally will live, probably even shorter than that. So the answer is, but how are you going to try on the jeans to take home if they're in quarantine? That's the thing, if you take them home.
I'm curious to know whether that shop was quarantining every pair of jeans after someone had tried them on, or perhaps it was just that the shipment came in and they just put them out the back for a day. I want so much more information than Helen's giving us here.
Yeah, and we would invite CoronaCast listeners, CoronaCasters, to send us in their experience of quarantine jeans. We are fascinated. And is anybody putting brand new jeans on over their head instead of masks? There's all sorts of things we want to know about here. But the short answer to this question is, it doesn't take long for the virus to die on soft fabrics.
One more question from Corey. He's asking, should people in the coronavirus hotspots leave for work? The advice is to not leave the zone, but in the most severe shutdown, people were still allowed to go to work. Should Corey be working at home or going into the office?
I think the story here is, do you really need to go into the office? Is it easy to work from home? Are you going to mix with a lot of people in the office? How are you going to get there? Are you going to get there via a crowded tram? Are they socially distancing on trams? There are all sorts of questions to ask. And I think if you're in a hot spot and you don't need to go into the office to work and you can stay at home, that would be a good thing. But you've just got to follow the general advice. Melbourne has not returned to a serious lockdown here, not yet anyway. And really, we've just got to follow common sense here. Maintain social distance wherever you possibly can. If you don't have to go into work, don't, because all social contacts increase your risk, even though there's still not a lot of virus around. The numbers of cases are still continuing to increase at a disturbing rate.
Well, that's all from the CoronaCast crew today. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts if you can.
And if you have a question or like to leave a comment, go to abc.net.au/coronavirus. Go to Ask Us Your Questions, fill in the form and mention CoronaCast so that we can pick it up.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yep, that's when we'll see you.